Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 53, and then also the book of Luke chapter 23. I wish we could be together and sing the songs of faith in the garden at Calvary. Lead me to Calvary. I wish that we could hear my mother sing as she did on so many Good Fridays. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But I really wish that we could sing the old rugged cross. I'd like to say the words to you at this time. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. But some verses that we'll read as an introductory thoughts. Revelation 13, verse 8b, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. 1 Corinthians 11, 24, this is my body which is broken for you. Galatians 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18a, 19, and 20a. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5b, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And one final one from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. If you have the book of Isaiah chapter 53, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah, writing these words 700 years before this happened to Jesus, continues, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. The transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we can only thank you one more time for the fact that you were willing to send your son, that he was willing to come. And that some 2,000 years ago, he was willing to die on a cross that we might have salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings, your mercy, your kindness, your love. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. If you would, the book of Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. And it begins in verse 27, Luke 23, 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. We have some thoughts that we're going to give to you at this time, and some of them are from Ray Pritchard. And let's begin with this thought. The Romans like Skull Hill because it can be seen from the main road, and everyone can witness the crucifixions carried out there. Crowds gather to watch with morbid fascination. But this day is different. One named Jesus is being crucified. The crucifixions began at 9 o'clock sharp. The Romans are punctual about things like that. At first, the crowd is rowdy, loud, raucous, and boisterous, as if they were at some kind of athletic event. They cheer, laugh, shout, mock, and place wagers on how long the victims will last. The one in the middle has already been severely beaten. His skin hangs from its back in tatters. His face is bruised and swollen. A crown of thorns adorned his head. A number of months ago, my sister-in-law, Candy, and her husband were out in Arizona, and they came across what is known as the crown of thorns. And I don't know how well these are showing up there, but you can imagine these being pushed into your head. And these type of thorns may have been the very ones that were pushed into the head of Jesus Christ. But his face is bruised and swollen, his eyes nearly shut. Blood trickles down from dozens of opened wounds. If one listens closely, they hear sentence fragments float in the air. Sounds like, "Father, forgive them." Something else about if you are the Son of God. What follows sounds like a promise of paradise. Then it happens at noon. Darkness falls over all the land. One moment the sun is right overhead, and the next moment it's gone. It's not an eclipse or a dark cloud cover. It's darkness itself. Thick, inky black darkness that falls like a shroud over the land. Kind of like during the plagues in Egypt when darkness came upon the land. It is a darkness without hint of light. It is chilling blackness that curdles the blood and freezes the skin. No one moves. No one speaks. For once, the profane soldiers stop their swearing. Something eerie is happening. You can almost reach out and feel the evil all around. From somewhere deep in the earth, there is a sound like some dark subterranean chuckle. It is the laughter of hell. 3 long, frightful hours later, the darkness gives way to daylight, revealing that Jesus is at the point of death. Whatever happened in that darkness has sapped his remaining strength. His chest heaves with every tortured breath. He cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The song that our choir has sung has in the chorus these words, "God estranged from God." Moments pass. Death is near. Then a hoarse whisper, "I thirst." If you listen, you can hear the death rattle. He has less than a minute to live. Then he speaks again. "It is finished." That phrase comes from a word that means to bring to an end, to complete, to accomplish. In the Greek, it also means paid in full. It's the word you could use when you make that final payment for your house or for your car. It's the word you could use when you cross the finish line of a 10K run. The word means more than just, "I survived." It means, "I did what I set out to do." A number of years ago, my friend Rudy and I were in the Smoky Mountains, and I had come across a trail to a waterfall, and it was some 6 miles there. 6 miles from the parking lot, from the trailhead to the waterfall. The first 5 miles were basically all uphill. The last mile was down. So on the return trip, it was up 1 mile and then down for 5 miles. Rudy mentioned it the other day, how that when we were about 2 miles out, it began to rain. So if it wasn't bad enough that we were tired from hiking all that distance, it was now pouring on us. But at the end, we could say, "We have done what we set out to do." The debt is paid. The job is done. "It is finished," was the Savior's final cry of victory. So I ask you the question, why did Jesus have to die? How would an all-loving God allow his son to be murdered on a cross to redeem guilty sinners? God's justice demands that every sin be punished, no matter how small it may seem to us. This morning, I went over to Vince and Joe's to buy some vegetables. They were essential. And as I was coming back and I was coming to the intersection there of Sal Road and 19 Mile Road, the people that were on 19 Mile Road had a red light. And yet I noticed the man in a pickup truck did not even slow down. He just went around the corner. It doesn't matter how small our sin, sin is sin. If he were to overlook sin without proper punishment, he would cease to be holy and just. That's why sinners can't simply say, "I'm sorry," and instantly be cleared. There is still a price to pay. We often see this principle at work in the family. Through carelessness, or perhaps through deliberate disobedience, a five-year-old boy breaks an expensive lamp. Realizing what he has done, he apologizes to his parents and promises never to do it again. The parents forgive the son, but the lamp is still broken. Mom and dad have to pay a price to replace it. God needed a plan of salvation whereby he would remain just and still provide a way of forgiveness for guilty sinners. Somewhere, somehow, there had to be a place where grace and wrath could meet. And that was at Calvary. The paradox of salvation is this. God is love and wants to forgive sinners. But he is also holy and he cannot overlook sin. What could he do? God the Father sent God the Son to die for sinners. The book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 8 says, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In that way, the just punishment of sins was fully met in the death of Christ. And sinners who trust in Christ could be freely forgiven. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says. Wages of sin is death, either our death or Christ's. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus sacrificed, Lamb of God. He provided a vicarious death as a substitute for us. He bore our sin. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we may have or be made righteous. Anger, lust, cheating, disobedience, lying, gossip, drunkenness, immorality, pride, murder, even abortion. Christ paid the price to remove the sin from our records. John Morris writes, the apex of Christ's suffering came as we see God the Father separate himself from his beloved Son. Forsaking Christ to suffer for 3 hours the awful pangs of hell that we deserve. Jesus Christ paid the price in full. All efforts to add anything to what Christ did on the cross are doomed for failure. Yes, it's good that we go to church, and yes, it's good that we do good works and giving money to the poor or being baptized, but these may be positives, but they cannot add anything to the value of what Christ accomplished in his death on the cross. For Christ did what needed to be done. The payment isn't based on what you do, but on what Christ did. God is not selling salvation. but offering it free of charge. I hope you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you have received that unspeakable gift, that gift that He offers all who will accept Him as Savior, who admit to the fact that they are a lost sinner, doomed and damned for hell, but realizing that there is a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And yes, He suffered for us, but He did it willingly so that we could have salvation. It is the most important choice you will ever make in your life, to accept Jesus Christ. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much for Your love. And for the thoughts, Lord, that we were able to give, may people realize that You did it on our behalf. You are offering the gift, but we must be willing to receive it. Thank You for Your love. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.